became aware of the power of conversation when I was a stay-at-home mom of three preschoolers. Friends would call and I'd talk their ears off, desperate for adult communication. If I remember correctly, some of them quit calling. When the children became teenagers, I loved driving them wherever they needed to go, as when there was no eye contact, they were much more open and talkative, giving me an important view into their worlds.
Too much of living, breathing, and being alone opened that window specifically with Agnes. When deep in the ugly grays of winter, I called her out of the blue to ask if she would simply phone me for just 1 week for 5 minutes, just to ask me what I was doing for the day, so I could talk to someone, hear another voice. Note, loneliness being one of our conversational themes over the last year, to make my long story even longer, before long it was Agnes who suggested that our 5 minute sound checks were actually interesting, and going on for 20-30 minutes, we would just take off. I firmly believe that conversation saves us. It heals and reveals.
And now, as a boomer who doesn't have any interest in retiring, I am rejuvenated, replenished by conversation. I'm cognizant of the power and the importance of both conversation and story. And Suleika, I appreciate always being able to exchange ideas, thoughts, and words with you.
Well, one other thing. Whenever I mention that our podcast is called The Lost Art of Conversation, the response is always positive. There's always an emotional response of, oh, great, that's a great idea. So going with that, let's go with it.
Let's go.
Good morning.
And good morning to you. How are things?
Well, I think it's like pressing the reset button for everything, and that's a good thing, but slow. That's okay. But it's summer. It's sunny. It's nice. It's a change. It's what we need.
I agree 100%.
There you go. Aren't we smart? Oh, we're so smart.
It's this hour of the morning. We've already been out and fed the chickens and had our coffee break and been to the park, and here we are.
Well, how were the chickens today?
Oh, they were so excited to see the feed coming in. They don't care about the feeders. They just want the feed.
Aww.
And we got three beautiful eggs.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's an egg question for you.
The chicken.
You are too fast for me. Hold on. I have noticed that unless I wash my eggs before breaking them, then I get little tummy upsets. Are you supposed to sterilize your eggs before you crack them?
Well, no, but the shells are absorbent. So that's
right.
Why the first thing we do when we pick up eggs is bring them home and wash them.
Right.
Because they, you know, they could, usually chickens won't poop in the nest, but you never know.
Okay.
And I mean, they're not the cleanest creatures anyways. So... yeah, unless it's absorbing something out of your fridge.
Well, here's a question again. How do you wash your eggs? Maybe this is something everybody needs to know.
Oh, well, I just run them under cold water and rub them all over.
Not warm water?
No, just because I don't want, like, you know, you hear about raw eggs and salmonella and or whatever there is in eggs. So once again, warmth, because the trick is, well, for me, this is just my logic. I'm not saying this is the way it is. And I'm happy to be corrected. But, you know, the same with egg salad sandwiches. You keep them in the fridge because you don't want them sitting on the counter, or chicken meat. You put it in the fridge. You don't want it sitting on the counter because as soon as it warms up, that's when weird things start to breed.
Okay.
So I always use cold water. I don't know.
All right. Interesting. Well, I had somebody come up to me who wants to know how to listen to our podcast. And she said, well, can I listen to it afterwards? And I said, yeah, sure. But where are we on the map of live?
I would send everybody to our website, toboomerwomen.com.
Right.
Because you can listen there. And there's a button that says, you know, click here to listen now or something.
Good.
And if they aren't subscribed to Apple Podcasts or we just got approved for iHeartRadio. So that's yet another one that we're on for Two Boomer Women. We have not been approved yet for Pissed On Podcast.
Okay.
And I haven't heard anymore. But if they go to Two Boomer Women, they can listen there, even if they're not subscribed to any of the other places. But absolutely everything is on that front page, like how to listen is on the front page at Two Boomer Women.
Good. Okay. I'm going to send that out specifically to this gal. People are, as I said, people are being roused out of their hibernation COVID situation, and we're approaching phase three, and people are excited.
Yeah, yeah. And I think they're just ready to create. And this is what I'm hearing more and more, and perhaps it's because we've had so many huge events happen, I won't say simultaneously, but they've certainly overlapped, that people are saying, we have this opportunity, because it's been a huge 3 months with COVID, we have this opportunity to create the normal that we want to live. Now, will be certain restrictions, of course, because if there is a second wave of COVID, who knows? But generally speaking, you know, people have this opportunity to invent their own wheel.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are taking it.
That's a good observation. How did you come to that without me?
Maybe because we're constantly, but you also are doing that. With your collages, this is a new place for you, and this is a place you're enjoying and continuing through.
Well, you know as well as I do, you don't know what you're doing until you either can reflect or someone says, oh, by the way, did you know you are doing X? Hence, again, the reason that we have conversation, and conversation that goes from one sentence to another to another to another. You need to hear yourself say something to somebody else.
Yeah, it's the old story too, and I call it giving it the light of day.
Right.
As soon as it's words and it's voiced, there is a greater reality to it.
Yeah.
Even if it's only speculation, gee, I wish I could, or I wonder if I could, or I wonder if I should. It's words, and with conversation, of course, you can get feedback, whether you use it or not. It doesn't matter, but the conversation does help with, all of the pieces of the puzzle.
Well, I was just plugging her show. Maybe I did it too subtly.
No, I'm helping you here. I used the word conversation twice.
Yes.
We're on the same page.
I saw my mother for the first time yesterday.
Oh, good. In real life or through
the plexi? In real life, yep.
Oh, wow.
And Trudy is amazing. And I'll tell you why, because I could see her. She is totally unfazed. She's not worried, not concerned. They're doing their job. They're taking care of her. There's wonderful people who do. They're there. I see them. I know them. She's not huddled in a corner crying about what she doesn't have. She's not worried. She looked beautiful. She looked younger than I've ever seen her. It was a real revelation for me. And and you know what I attribute that to? My mother is a very selfish person. And I mean that in the best possible way, because you know, the sort of mantra in the last several years is think of yourself, put yourself first, because when you do, then you can take care of other people. But she has always made sure that she's okay first. And as a child growing up, that was kind of annoying because I was needy as a 4-year-old. But this is where it all proves itself out. And she has been the queen of the May dance there since she got there, because she doesn't put anybody out. It's very interesting. And I'm grateful and I applaud her attitude. This is the first time at 65 years old that I've seen and appreciated her tenacity, not just to be tough, but where the tough comes from. And it comes from the very gut of her being. She was the most photogenic poor person growing up in the 30s on the farm with 13 other people. Pictures of her, she's like a movie star. And I looked at them when she was like 14, and I thought, who is that woman? And it's my mother.
I have two thoughts.
Yes.
Is first of all, there's often a silver lining to dementia.
Yeah.
So she's been unable to grasp the hugeness of COVID.
Yeah.
And then I hate to rain on your parade, and I'm just going to throw this out there, and you can hear me laughing as I say it. But she's been without you because you mentioned she's looking younger than ever.
Yeah.
She's been without you for 3 months.
Right.
So there has been no reminder that she's old enough to be the mother of a 65-year-old.
Oh, isn't that's lovely.
And I say that because I remember teasing my mother, saying, you are so old. And I mean, we did it over a glass of wine, so it wasn't like I was insulting her. You're so old, your baby's in her 50s now. And of course, now that, you know, my daughter's getting closer to 40, it's like, oh, was that ever a nasty thing to say? But, you know, so who knows? And I'm just yanking your chain. I'm not suggesting for a second you shouldn't be seeing her, because obviously that's such an important part of both your lives. But
no, it's good. That's a good insight. A very good insight. And, you know, I never think while we're talking that we're actually expressing, exposing, detailing information that could really mean something to someone. But those are good insights about the whole thing. The whole COVID thing, the whole dementia thing, the whole mother-daughter thing, which is really one of those relationships that is peculiar, or can be. So, yeah. A sidebar to the day was there was quite a crowd, actually, of people so anxious to see their parents that the director of recreation who's in charge of this is a real bulldozer type woman. She doesn't fool around. She gets things done. And so one woman was complaining to her about me and my mom being, well, we're supposed to be 6 feet apart. They're not 6 feet apart. And an email to make sure she didn't get into any kind of trouble, but she waved it off. She said, don't worry about it. You're fine. But people get a bit owly. And that's the other thing to constantly be aware of.
I think I've mentioned that a couple of weeks ago or a week and a half ago, my brother and his partner were down. They were camping. I went out to visit. Her sister and family were there, just, you know, her sister, brother-in-law, and niece. So, you know, with a big campground, we could easily keep our distances. And I remember that one person moved closer to the fire, which is where I was, and I was getting smoked. So automatically moved to where they'd come from. And then I realized that it was fairly close to the sister-in-law. And I went, oh, I'm sorry. I said, like, are you okay? Are you comfortable with me sitting here? Because I was within my 2 meters. And she said, she said, no problem at all. She said, but thank you for asking. And I find that when people do sort of say, are you comfortable? And I do this in the grocery store. Are you comfortable with me just sneaking by you here or whatever?
Yeah.
But to go on the attack of those people aren't 2 meters apart. Like if she'd come to you and said, I know I sound paranoid, but like I'd be so much more comfortable if, you know, because your mom lives with my mom, that you were 2 meters apart. You would have looked at that. Everybody would have looked at that totally differently.
Yes.
But to sort of go on the attack, which I realize when you're nervous, that's maybe a go-to place. But once again, we have this opportunity to create our own current reality. And I should think a kinder, gentler place, with all due respect to Bonnie Henry, is a good place to be and to start.
Good. That's very good. And the funny thing is we both arrived, the two families arrived at the same time. And so it was a bit of a situation for the person in charge to sort out. And she sorted it out the way she felt it was best to do, because she's the person in charge. And she's certainly cognizant, of course she is, of the rules. So, and I've noticed that too. I will ask if I'm coming into my apartment, there's two people in the elevator. Do you mind if I come with you, or would you like to send the elevator back down? And 9 times out of 10, people say, oh, yes, come on in. And it's that whole world of being conscious of somebody else.
And also, she doesn't know what she doesn't know. And what she doesn't know is that your mother has had COVID, is now hopefully immune to COVID. So for you and her to be closer should not be a risk to anybody except you.
Yes.
It's not like you can give your mother COVID.
Right.
Because your mother's already had it. And once again, I'm talking through my hat because I don't know enough about the disease itself and the big picture of the disease. But this is what I've understood, is that you will usually be immune. That the people who have appeared to have a second go round with COVID actually didn't get rid of it the first time.
Well, not to put too fine a point on what I said about my mother's zeal for life and determination, this one who went to see her mother was having to deal with a woman who was very upset, was crying, was not able to cope. And that's not an easy thing when you're an outsider. Not an outsider, but when you've been outside the situation, to deal with that kind of hysteria when everything else around you is also hysterical, to comfort somebody who's hysterical, it's just too much.
Mm-hmm. And anyway. And in terms of COVID, you know, like I think all of us are in a position where, you know, I'm sure the scientists, the Dr. Bonnie Henrys of the world, would have all of the answers in that specific situation, or most of the answers in that specific situation. But you and I don't. And so this other daughter would be in the same position of, you know, just wanting to have some nice time with her mother again, and doesn't have the answers to make her mother feel better, which makes everybody feel worse.
Yeah.
Like if your mother was crying and you didn't have the words to make her feel better, you would feel worse, you'd feel inadequate, you'd feel you were letting her down, like just all that stuff. So yeah, you can see how people end up in a place of snappiness or anger, or whatever. I don't, you know, just all those things, those negative responses.
Well, the denouement to the story is that the woman was in such a huffy puffy place that she soon left. So I didn't take much notice of it. I was concentrating on my mother, but each their own. That's how you deal with it. That's the way you deal with it.
Well, and I think, too, there's so many different mother-daughter relationships as well. Like if she felt she was duty-bound to visit her mother and didn't really want to be there, then between you taking those dreadful social liberties and her mother being hysterical or near hysteria, it was just, okay, I've been, I can say I've been, my conscience is clear, I'm out of here. You know, once again, we don't know, you don't know what you don't know, like in terms of what their relationship is. So, yeah.
On a funny note, my mother said, as we were sitting there in the front, at the entrance there, where people were coming and going, delivery guys, you know, the dementia thing is no holds barred. They say exactly what's on their mind. So there was a guy coming in. I hope he didn't hear her. She said, that guy needs a bra.
Yeah.
Mom, please don't embarrass me.
Well, you know, well, but the thing is there is that dementia. And I mean, my girlfriend's dad had dementia. They went to a Chinese restaurant one time and he started speaking that gibberish of imitation Chinese.
Oh.
And you know, he's got dementia. He does
right.
not have any logic. And she was mortified. She was absolutely mortified. And, you know, I said, well, hopefully she understands. And the other thing, or they understood that this was a man with dementia speaking. And so you just don't have those filters. My client, there's this big, massive house, lovely, amazing Uplands home, where just up the street from where she lives. And it has looked empty for as long as I've been going around the house, which is a year and a half now. And the other day, there was a beautiful car parked out front, and there was a man of color trimming the shrubbery at the front. And I and right. the garage was wide open. And I said, oh, look, somebody does live here after all. And she goes, oh. And I mean, this is a woman who has traveled the globe. She has lived in so many different countries and enjoyed it, respected the people, that lived there. And she said, oh, no, he's the gardener. And I said, no, I said, it's a pretty nice car in the driveway. I said, no, I'm sure that's his house. No, look at him. He's the gardener. And I thought, like, wow. Oh, my God, like, I would have been mortified if I thought for a second that he could hear her.
Yeah.
Suggesting that a person who was not a WASP could own this amazing place in Uplands. But, you know, that's not where her heart is in her real life. If she was herself, she wouldn't have dreamt of saying that. So, yeah, the total lack of filters and the inappropriateness of responses is...
Right.
And you don't want to be apologizing for somebody all the time either.
No. I never met this woman ever in my life. I don't know who she is.
Oh, dear. And that would be the dementia talking. Yeah, she talks about fat people. She talks about, you know, same thing. Is that a man or a woman? Yeah, she would say exactly what your mother said.
Yeah. Well, there's something I wanted to say. I mentioned this in an email earlier about topics for today. And out of the blue, people have surfaced out of the blue. I have a big story to tell, but not today. But this is another big story, so I have time to tell it. And when I was in Comox during that Schitt's Creek year, that's what I'm going to call it, because everybody, maybe not everybody, but the Schitt's Creek comedy about being cut down to size and reducing your dreams to the new place was the 2008, 9, 10 thing for me in Comox. But I met a girl there, a woman, and she made me laugh every time I saw her. And we got together, did some things, and we had a lot of fun. And we were both at that place of let's reinvent ourselves. And there was Work BC projects. And she was just a great deal of fun. And then we dropped out. I left. I didn't know where she was. And it was just one of those things for the last, I guess, 8 years. I didn't hear anything from her, didn't know how to contact her or anything. So out of the blue, I get an email, and it's her, and she's in Victoria. And we talked on the phone. We're going to talk again today. And she lives on a sailboat, and she does volunteer work at the Red Cafe. Is that what it's called, for the Salvation Army on Douglas?
Could well be, because they have their Red Kettle thing.
Yes. Anyway, I was very impressed, and so was she. They made 800 meals for people in 1 week. And I just think that's a marvelous thing. I just wondered what else you knew about the Salvation Army project.
My father raved about them, of course, because during the war they did a lot of work. I do not support them because I find that they are a religious group, so... They do that, and that is not my life. Other than that, they seem to be very wishy-washy and don't separate themselves enough from people who speak out loudly and vociferously about inclusion issues.
Really?
So, for example, I believe it was one person, one of their high-ups in Australia or somewhere like that, said that all gay people should be killed.
I did not know that.
And the Salvation Army separated themselves from that comment, but there's still, I did some research after you sent that email, and there's still a lot of, we're not sure. So between the two things of them not making a stand, so yes, they will serve First Nations people, but do they welcome them is a question. Different parts of the world still have inclusion issues around gays. So, as I say, because there's enough other groups for me to support, in Victoria here providing meals, there are other groups to support, that I just choose not to support the Salvation Army, but that's a personal choice.
Well, that's I respect that. I didn't know that information either. But the other thing I did know about the Salvation Army is that in the last 10 years, they've gone from more of a volunteer, help your fellow man thing to CEOs and big payouts and people making $150,000 a year to head the Salvation Armies. And I'm not sure I'm in agreement with that either. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you know that you're, you know, and I don't know what that percentage is, but what percentage of your donation is going to administration?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like those people that call on the phone.
Well, enough about that one.
Pardon?
Enough about that.
Okay, I was just going to finish off with the comment that when people phone me for money, I always, always ask them, if it's a reasonable charity that I might consider, I always ask them if they're being paid to make the phone call or if they're a volunteer. And if they're being paid, they work for an agency, then no, I'm sorry, I will find someone else that I can donate to that either uses volunteers for their call-outs or just depends on me remembering each year.
You know, that's a good one. That is a very good thought.
I have a
Thank
lot
you
of
for
those.
Sharing no, that.
So it's a sunny day out there. What are you going to do?
Oh, you know what? I am so excited. I am going to hunker down and I'm in hermit mode and I love it. I've got things I want to do. I've got deadlines. I've got this, this request from my friend in London to finish on I Can't Breathe. I'm really excited about that. So I've got that. I've got collage business. I've got paper to sort and file. I'm excited. I can go outside of my balcony, enjoy the sun. I'm happy.
Good. I did a bunch of work on your collage page last night.
Yes.
I do have some other ideas because can we just clarify? At one point in time, I understood you were going to have a story for each collage and you wanted to narrate it. But
yes.
Now, more recently, you've just been talking about a few pithy comments.
We're going to go with pithy comments.
Okay.
And no story, no narration. The narration is going to be the vinaigrettes. And I actually have one that I want you to read with me. I want you, it's a two-parter. It's like a little scene between girlfriends. And tell me what you think. There's girlfriend A, girlfriend B. And I thought it was fun and funny. But and I do know now how to voice my stories. And I'm going to give myself some leeway here, maybe another 10 days to really finesse it. But I'm going to send you the story. It's funny. It's about men. And if you're game and you want to play, then I'd like to invite you to be the other voice.
Great. Sounds great. I'd love to look at it.
So the story narration will be vinaigrettes. The short, pithy, three-sentence thing, occasionally with some collages, yes.
Okay. So at this point in time, if you go look at your collage page,
yep.
The two that you have in your entry hall are the entrance to your page.
Yep.
And then underneath is the slider with the cats and all of the rest of them.
Uh-huh.
I would put an instruction up there when I know exactly what you want, when we've sort of hit upon it, I'll put a little comment above the slider saying click on any picture to view it more fully and read the pithy comments. I won't say that, of course, but the comments. And currently, of course, none of them have comments, but if you click on any one, it does come up in what is called a light box. So just take a look at it and see if we're closer to what you envision.
Good. That sounds good. I can do that today, tomorrow. Yes, I'm sending things out on Saturday, Sunday. So these are my 2 days to sort things out.
Okay.
I will have comments much.
Ha ha ha. Okay.
She said.
I will expect a lot to be accomplished.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No pressure. No pressure.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, going through the page and going like, yeah, that'll work. That's an accomplishment.
Okay. I can definitely do that. I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
Now, and what's on your agenda?
Well, I'm heading out to my client after I serve these boys lunch. And, of course, en route, I have to stop at the liquor store to pick up tomorrow's bevy.
Well, I am down to beer.
Oh, no.
But I did get Stella Artois. So, yes, I will be doing Stella Artois. I love their commercials. They were the funniest. They were the best. They were the smartest commercials ever.
Oh, well, why don't you find one on your YouTube and send it to me and we'll add it in the show notes tomorrow.
No, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
See, that's perfect. Okay. Tomorrow. See you tomorrow. Talk to you tomorrow. And yes, good show.
Yes, absolutely. We will see you tomorrow. Pissed On Podcast.
Hey, you know, I just thought maybe with the new world until things settle a bit more in terms of the kidlets, maybe 10 o'clock is a better time to do our podcast? Not necessarily.
Oh, no,
anyway,
no.
Think about
it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because if I'm not talking to you, then I do get them out really early. Which works.
Yeah.
I mean, we have breakfast and we are out of the house. We're doing stuff. And then by, you know, closer to 10 o'clock, we're coming home for them to go on their gadgets for half an hour. Isn't a big deal. And then I'm straight into lunch prep because we do have lunch just after 11 because the little guy goes down for his nap just after 11:30.
Right.
So sure. Yeah. I mean, we can firm that
let's
up.
Let's do 10.
Okay.
And I just thought of that because this worked out well for me. I have a whole routine ritual deal that I get into. And yeah, 10 is a little easier for me too.
Okay, sounds great. I just didn't want to, you know, put it, you know, along so far that you had a bite out of your day that you couldn't retrieve.
Exactly. Yep. Okay, so I'll talk to you tomorrow at 5.
Okay, sounds great.
All right.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.